When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well.
Friends, welcome to this service this morning. We're so glad that you can join us wherever you're viewing from. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in the call to worship today? Jesus calls us into his house today. We follow him. Jesus calls us from our wayward, distracted lives to spend time with God. We follow him. Jesus invites us to take courage and stand before him with our souls laid bare. We follow him. Jesus looks at each one of us and sees us as we truly are and loves us anyway. We follow him. Through his love, Jesus heals our brokenness, quenches our thirst, satisfies our hunger, frees us from our chains, and makes us to see again. Jesus Christ, Savior, Redeemer, have mercy on us today as we give you all glory, thanks, and praise, and seek to follow you. Amen. If you have a candle at home for worship, let's light them together and take some time to be still in the presence of God and prepare our hearts for the rest of this service. Let us pray. Holy One of Israel, we bow our heads and hearts before you today, very aware of our shortcomings and our need of your grace. We give you thanks for this time that is set apart to spend in your blessed presence. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear you and to know you more. Soften our hearts and guide our spirits to learn your ways to the point that they become our ways too. We pray for the sake of your name and your kingdom. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession today. When we want to be a church ever reforming, yet cling to comfortable ways, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. When we want to honour your still speaking voice, but are fearful of insights which challenge old assumptions, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. When we want to live into Jesus' dream of oneness, but fail to listen to voices of difference, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us.
Friends, take heart, get up. Jesus is calling us. We trust in the one who has guided the church through 2 millennia. Through Christ, God has forgiven our failings and called us into a community of mutual love and forgiveness. This is the incredible mercy of God that is ours in Jesus. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, arise, he is calling for you." And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, with just a few weeks' exception, we have been spending the late summer and early fall tracking along with Jesus and his disciples as they make their way south from Galilee to Jerusalem and to all that will await them there. Today's reading is the last episode we come to before they arrive in Jerusalem, and in it we find them leaving Jericho to cover those last 15 miles between it and Jerusalem. In Mark's gospel, this story acts like one of a pair of bookends. The first came in chapter 8, where we read that Jesus healed a blind man in Bethsaida. And today we hear of him healing another blind man. This time we get to know his name. He is Bartimaeus. So we have these two stories of Jesus quite literally healing two men who were physically blind. And between them, there is all this other stuff, a number of different stories, many of which seem to illustrate over and over again that many people were suffering from blindness themselves, not physically, but spiritually, including some of Jesus' closest followers. People were still struggling to understand what Jesus came to do. So here they are leaving the ancient city of Jericho, with, I'm sure, excitement growing as they approached Jerusalem. As they were on their way, a blind man begging just outside the city along the road hears them going by and cries out to Jesus for help. Many people try to tell him to be quiet, and in the process of shushing him, actually reveal how blind they really are to the true essence of Jesus' mission of bringing restoration and wholeness and healing. Well, shushed or not, Bartimaeus ignores them and he keeps calling all the more loudly. So Jesus stops in his tracks, turns to his disciples, and tells them he wants to see the man. Well, needless to say, they change their tune rather promptly. They tell Bartimaeus to get up, Jesus is calling him. And Bartimaeus jumps at the chance. He throws his cloak aside and rushes to Jesus, who asks him what he wants him to do, which is a bit of a strange question if you really think about it, but more on that in a minute. Of course, Bartimaeus replies that he wants to see, and so that's what happens. In what seems to be an instant, with no apparent hoopla, he can see. And Jesus proclaims that it was Bartimaeus' faith that has made him well. Well, the whole thing ends quite simply, with Mark telling us that a now sighted Bartimaeus joins up with the rest of Jesus' followers as they make their way and head for Jerusalem. Now, there is a lot that is interesting within this short story. I think there was at least five different places I could have started for us to dig into together today. But for now, I'm proposing that we start with that bit from verse 50 where we're told that throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, at first, that might sound like just a rather descriptive detail, but nothing important, but it's actually quite significant. And we start to get a grasp on that significance as we start to think about what that cloak meant to Bartimaeus. Remember, he is a blind man, and he survives by begging. His life depends on the kindness of people throwing a coin or two down at him as they walk by. And so that cloak was actually much more for him than just a coat. Yes, it would have kept him warm from the wind and the rain and the cold, and it was also probably what he wrapped up in to sleep. But perhaps most importantly, and as we think about how quickly he threw it aside, we need to know that that cloak was also a vital tool for him. Remember, Bartimaeus is begging on a major road, the major route leaving the city. So when people threw their coins down, he wouldn't be able, obviously, to see where they'd fallen. And because of the busyness of that road, it might have been difficult to hear where they had fallen as well. So he needed to have a way to find those coins and to collect them safely from among the steady flow of feet and everything else that would have been going by on that road. Well, to do this, beggars like Bartimaeus often laid out cloaks. And then when the coins landed on them, they were able to pull the cloak in and with it the coins. So without a cloak, collecting coins was difficult and at times even dangerous for people like Bartimaeus. So throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus was leaving much more than just his coat. He was leaving this tool that actually he needed to be able to survive from day to day. Now, you might be tempted to think, well, he's not going to need it anymore. He's healed. But if you look closely at the timing, you'll see that he left it behind when he jumped up to go to Jesus. And at that point, he is still blind. So what happened? Did he just get caught up in the excitement of the moment? Or was he daring to hope that he wouldn't need it anymore? Or was it even a conscious thought at all on his part? Honestly, we'll never know. But we do know that the disciples said to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." A better translation is actually "take courage." And I really think courage is what we see in him throughout this whole episode. We hear it in his words and we see it in his actions. Something made Bartimaeus dare to hope that Jesus might heal him. Maybe he'd heard about the healing in Bethsaida, or maybe he'd just heard rumblings on the street that Jesus was a healer, that miracles were happening. Either way, he dared to believe that this time things might turn out differently for him. This rabbi might actually have the power to heal him. And so he calls out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus' followers tell him to be quiet, he doesn't listen. He's not afraid of creating a ruckus. He yells even louder. And that took courage, to dare to hope that Jesus might heal him and to dare to risk creating a stir and the consequences of what that might mean for him. Well, those are courageous acts in and of themselves. Even before we get to that great leap of courage he took when he threw his cloak aside and left it behind to go to Jesus. Friends, it takes courage to have faith. I mean to really have faith, like the kind of faith that we see in Bartimaeus. Today, I want to challenge us, myself included. Can we follow Bartimaeus's example? Can we put our faith, our trust in Jesus? You know, that's what faith actually is. It's trust. Trusting that Jesus is who he has claimed to be and that he can and will do what he promises. Faith is trust. So much so that the ancient Greeks only had one word for both things. The word pistis means both faith and trust. And this faith, this trust, is what Bartimaeus shows us. You know, it is one thing to express your belief in Jesus, and doing that is good. But it is not the full extent of what there is for us to discover in this life of faith. Our faith invites us to put our trust in Jesus to the point that we are prepared to act on it. Bartimaeus was incredibly vulnerable throughout this whole episode, all the more so because of his actions. He was creating a stir in a time when those disturbances were not generally tolerated, from beggars. And he was prepared to leave his cloak, his security, to trust that Jesus would heal him. That is faith. That is trust put into action. And it challenges us to look at our own faith. Do we trust Jesus enough to do the same ourselves, to put our faith into action? That's a challenging question, isn't it? What does it mean for us? Well, I honestly can't answer that question for you. I don't know what it would mean for you to put your trust in Jesus right now. But I do have an idea of how you might find out. It's here in the story when Bartimaeus came to Jesus. Remember, Jesus asked him that strange question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Think about this. Isn't it obvious what Bartimaeus would want? He's blind. So of course he wants to see. So why would Jesus ask him? My guess is that Jesus knew that Bartimaeus needed to say it out loud, that doing that would be the final step of trust for him, being vulnerable enough to go all in, to dare, to hope that what he wanted might actually happen, that he might be able to see again. When Bartimaeus said those words, "I want to hope, I want to see," he let what was probably a long dead hope be rekindled. And any of you who have ever held such a hope and had to let it die know how much courage it takes to dare to begin to hope again. So as we sit with this story today, can we hear Jesus asking us, "What do you want me to do for you?" If this is striking you in what feels like a tender and maybe even a vulnerable place, then I really encourage you to consider taking a risk. Take heart. Take courage. Find some time to sit and pray and listen for Jesus. Is he asking you this? Do you have the sense of him saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" Maybe you don't hear it out loud, but maybe you have that impression, maybe in your mind or in your heart. If you do, then my prayer for you today is this: that you might be gifted, as I believe Bartimaeus was, with the courage and the faith to answer Jesus. Dear friends, take heart. He might be calling you. Amen.
Let's pray. Abba Father, O Lord, you are beautiful. Your face is all we seek, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds in us. O Lord, we lift up family and friends that are pitted against each other because of differences now, in these times that we have forgotten about love and grace and have become extremely judgmental, and this is dividing us from our friends and families. Let us show respect and love and see the situation through your eyes, Lord Jesus, not judging, but loving and respecting. We are keeping our eyes on you, Jesus, as we are growing closer to you. You long to have intimacy with us. We are building our relationship with you as we turn from the news and methods to cause fear and division. We know where that comes from. Stamp it out, we pray. We're praying Psalm 91, protection over us all as we dwell under the shadow of your wings. We pray comfort for families at the loss of loved ones, your peace, dear Lord, for them. Comfort for caregivers holding on sometimes by their fingernails. Show us how to be good neighbors and friends, lend a hand, spend some time together. Healing for sickness, surgeries, we pray, and as the weather is getting cooler, for the homeless to have warm shelter and food. Your blessing, we pray, to each and every family represented within the sound waves of this prayer. Peace, 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 our Lord. Together, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you again for your generous and faithful giving to the work of the church. Would you join me together now in saying our prayer over the gifts that have been given this week? Loving God, we come to you in thanksgiving, knowing that all we are and all we have is a gift from you. In faith and love, help us to do your will. Speak your words into the depths of our souls so that we may serve you well. We offer our gifts of time, talent, and possessions to you as a true act of faith to reflect our love for you and our neighbors. May they be used to reach out to others with your love, just as you have reached out to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, may God, who comes to us in the things of this world, bless your eyes and be in your seeing. May Christ, who looks upon us with deepest love, bless your eyes and widen your gaze. And may the Holy Spirit, who perceives what is and what is yet to be, bless your eyes and sharpen your vision. May the sacred three bless your eyes and cause you to see. Amen.